Okay, good morning, everyone. Mr. Shem should finish up Rav Pinkus' shmooze about nechama, comfort, and amokam yenachem. We discussed yesterday the idea of Hashem being the makomo shalolam, the makom of the place, which is the great equalizer for everything that exists, that no matter how great or how small anything is, it takes equal effort from Hashem, and they equally need that space and place that Hashem gives them. That is the greatest manifestation of his power in this world. So carrying this theme on, we continue at the bottom of page Sadi. Hey, the subtopic is, right at the bottom, Yesod HaNechama B'Makom. What is the fundamental point of the comfort that comes from the concept of Hashem being the Makom? B'Nusach HaTvila, in our prayer liturgy, Kavu Anshei Knesset HaGadol HaLoshem Bakosha. The rabbis established, the men of the Great Assembly established the expression of request that says in the Kedusha, Mimkomcha Malkeinu Sofia. Mimkomcha, from your place, your kingdom should appear. V'chein, and also in the Kedusha it says, Mimkomo Hu Yifem Berachamim. And from his place he will appear. He will appear in great mercy. So again, it seems Hashem is coming from the Makom. Havana, what is the understanding of the concept? Shekivan Shakodesh Baruch Hu Mekomo Shalolam. Since Hashem is the Makom of the world, Klape Mitzias HaMakom Ein Shinui Bein HaMatzavim. So towards the reality of the place, there is no such thing as a change of situations. Since Hashem is the Makom, there's no such thing as changes that can affect God. Bein Sheyesh, next page, Beis HaMikdash, whether there is a Beis HaMikdash, Ubein Shucharav, or whether it's destroyed. Kiyum HaOlam Nimshach, the world maintains itself. And regarding Hashem, nothing in this world has changed. We're at the top of page Tzadi Vav. So just like God gives space to everything in the world, no matter how big or small it is at this time, he gives the space continuously no matter what time of the history of the world is. And it doesn't matter what the matzav, what the place, what the situation is at this time, 1,000 years ago, 100 years in the future. Hashem never changes. It's the same Hashem. He's providing the same reality, the same basic needs of space and everything else that goes with that. No matter what the situation is, Hashem hasn't changed. There's no change in the God of this world. If we have a Beis HaMikdash or we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, things really haven't changed insofar as what God needs to do to keep this world going. So, b'zemavur, now that we have this idea, yisod anachma, in other words, it's never harder, just like it's not harder for God to maintain an elephant as it is for a mosquito. And the place that's necessary is the same miracle. So it's not harder to maintain the world if it's in a better state. If it's not in a better state, if it's in a better state or worse state, they still need makom. They still need space. And Hashem was always there to provide that space. So how does this become our comfort? So the next paragraph. So now we come full circle to the foundation of the comfort that we are meant to feel when people give the expression to us of Hamakom yinachem eschem. The place should give you comfort as we wish mourners as we leave the home. Bechinas hamakom. Now that we understand the concept of makom, hu adover she'eino mishtane mipnei ha'maoros. It's the concept of God that never changes, no matter what the situations are, no matter what happens. Hu abasis hanosei es kol mitzias ha'havoya ba'olam. It is the foundation that carries the entire existence of reality in this world. Once we know that, with that we give comfort to the mourners. We say to them, Bein kesheyesh lachem ba'olam hazeh es avichem. Rather, it doesn't matter. If you have your father in this world, let's say you lost a father. So we tell you, it doesn't matter if you have a father in this world, ubein shoyedenu, or if he's not in this world, lo ishtana davar. Nothing really has changed in the ultimate reality for so many reasons. And now he brings the famous pasuk, sherei bani matem l'Hashem elokeichem, for you are still God's children. It's a pasuk in Devarim, which we'll come to in a few weeks. And the pasuk continues, lo tiskodedu, you should not tiskodedu, which there's two explanations for that. And one of them is, you should not rip out your hair from your head. You shouldn't cause burns on your body. In other words, there are certain people who don't have good control of themselves. When a tragedy happens, they self-inflict suffering upon themselves. You know, pull their hair out, smash their head against the wall. I mean, you see this. You see this in the news in the Eastern countries, right? You burn your skin off, whatever. So, you know, so you're not allowed to do that. So Hashem says you are children to God, and you should never self-afflict yourself, inflict wounds upon yourself in reaction to a death of a family member. So what's this going on? What does it mean? Ha'iser begedido, this prohibition of inflicting wounds upon yourself, humipnei shebazeh ha'adam, she'adam chayte chaticha zor, that's a person who's cutting off pieces of his flesh. Why does a person do that? Humorish shechayev ein achayim lule ha'ov shemes. Because what's the person saying? What's the demonstration? The person is demonstrating that my life isn't worth living if I don't have this beloved one who has now died. It's like the closest thing you do to suicide. You know, a person has not yet committed suicide, but he's inflicting pain. Life isn't worth living anymore. Right? Why? Because things have changed. Everything has changed. My life is over. You know, sadly, I was speaking to someone yesterday who's related to someone who's been going through very, very difficult times. And they were relating to me that the person feels that since a certain thing happened in their lives, their life is over. Their life is over. That, you know, things aren't the way they used to be. And because there was a certain situation in their lives, and the situation took a drastic turn for the bad, and it's in that situation, and it doesn't look like it's going to get better, and therefore life is not worth living anymore. Life is over, everything's different. And that person is just, you know, irreconcilable. Is that the word? Can't reconcile themselves to the new realities of life. They can't. And they just have no real, you know, happiness in life. So that's the same thing here. You know, the person you loved so much is no longer alive. So life isn't the same anymore. I'm forever unhappy. And I'll express that by ripping off pieces of flesh. Right? Now that's wrong. That's wrong. You know, we shouldn't think that we can't live on after someone dies. Why? Aval keshemischazekes ha'akora. But if we strengthen our recognition that the one who's been carrying me on his shoulders, even when my beloved who was alive, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How was I able to live when my father was alive? Who kept me going? Was it my father who kept me going? It was the Almighty who is sustaining the space I need to live in, plus everything else beyond that. Right? So that's God who did that. Vavuro, and for him, ein hevdol b'yecholas aseses matzavi gam lulei hameis. And for God, there's no difference in his ability to carry me, regardless of the situation, even if the person now has died. That's how the comfort comes. Meaning to say, Hamakom, this is the kaponi you should have when you comfort the mourners. Hamakom the place, which means, what does it mean we call God the place? Shibakocholosis. It's his power to carry us. Ula lahami to lakai mokomasi shabalam. to carry any load in this world. No matter how difficult my life is now, He's supplying me with the basic needs and any need I have. I need to feel better. I feel terrible. I can't go on in my life anymore. This is incredibly hard to move on now that I've suffered this incredible blow. I don't have the koach to go on. So God says, who needs your koach? What have you done to contribute to your existence lately, mister? I've been the one carrying you the whole time. Even when you had your parents, and you had your money, and you had your health, and you had everything. Who's been doing all the work? Who's been doing all the heavy lifting? It's been me. So now it's good. You make it a little harder for me? Nothing's harder for me. Life can't be good for you now. Why was it good for you until now? It was good for you because I made sure it was good for you. Remember, for 1 minute I take away your place, you're vaporized. Right? So that you kind of didn't think about, did you? You thought that was like an easy thing. Right? So now you don't have a father. Okay, I appreciate that you're in pain. Okay, you're in pain. So who says I can't maintain you even with pain? I can't make you feel better? Where are your feelings coming from? Are you the owner of your feelings? How do you even know how to feel? Who taught you how to feel? Who gave you the neurological tools within your body to cause the emotional feeling? Wasn't me. Who's making you feel bad right now? Me. Right? If I would remove some neurons from your body, you wouldn't feel anything. Right? I can just touch one little part in your brain and you'll have no feeling. And I gave you feeling for a reason. But, you know, you don't have to feel forever bad. And you don't know how to not feel that way. Start talking to me. Ask me to help you out. If you ask me to help, I'm there for you. But you got to ask. You know, there are certain rules over here. You want my help? You know, ask for it. Daven for it. And that's what we're davening for the mourner. That's mamash the tefillah. It's a tefillah hamakom, the Almighty, that nothing's hard for Him. He's been carrying you all along. He'll carry you now. Yenachem oscha. He should give you the comfort. And Hashem can give a person comfort, but the person has to be open for the comfort. Has to be open for it, and that's a gift from Hashem. Now, if a person stubbornly says, "I'm always going to dwell on the past and never dwell on the future," a person can fight God giving them comfort. You know, God gives you life. You decide to put a bullet in your head. You know, no matter how strong God is, He's not going to stop you from putting that bullet in your head. You do have some free will choice. So, if you choose to be miserable, you know, you're not letting God help you, right? But if you say, Hashem, I want to feel better, you know, and people give you advice, we want to feel better, why don't you, you know, do a few things and realize that life has been wonderful and can continue to be wonderful. And when the attitude changes, the feeling can change, right? So that's the real meaning of Hamakom Yenachem Escha. Just bear with me, let me just do two more prayer guys to finish to the next stopping place, and then there'll be lots of time for questions. Interesting story now. Kishenifter Moran HaChafetz Chaim. When the great Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, passed away in 1933, he was the leader, the spiritual leader of the Jewish people. He was head and shoulders the greatest rabbi alive at the time. And he passed away. So that's a terrible, terrible blow. Amar Echad Megadolim, one of the great rabbis of that generation, got up for Kara and said, HaChafetz Chaim Einenu. The Chafetz Chaim is no longer with us. But Ho'elokim shel HaChafetz Chaim Noser Imanu. But the God of the Chafetz Chaim, He still remains with us. You can imagine not having the Chafetz Chaim, what kind of a spiritual loss that is. But who's the one who made him? How did we have all the benefits of the Chafetz Chaim? I mean, he used his free will choice to be wonderful, but God gave him the place every day to do what he had to do. Gave him the brains to be able to work on himself, to write such amazing svarim that he did, and to change the Jewish people. So, b'pashtus hakavana, the simple meaning when we hear such a line, he she'av she'yichasar l'nachash Chafetz Chaim v'kashu b'ludav, even though we're missing the Chafetz Chaim, and it's hard to be without him, yesh l'anu al milusha, we still have someone to rely on, al avinu shvayu, on our Father in Heaven. We still have God. But it's deeper. Okay, but if we go deeper, Ha'inyan in the concept, who the concept is, Shebehel Yosenu Banim Hashem Elokeinu, since we are children of Hashem, Ein Shum Hefrish Vehevdel Avuro, Imachavetz Chaim V'Lerov, it's not any different for a God. What he needs to do, if the Chavetz Chaim is here, or if he's not here, it's no difference. Meaning to say, so what's the problem? Now we don't have the Chavetz Chaim, so what's the problem? We're losing all this spirituality. You know, it's a beacon of light to the darkness of the Jews in the exile. So Hashem can't find you another beacon? It's a problem for him? It's a problem for him to let a new rabbi come onto the scene and do something for us? Nothing has changed as far as God's concerned. Nothing's changed. It's the same. It's the same work for him. The same game plan. Certainly the Chavetz Chaim's Torah and his influence in the world will be less. But the maintenance and the established Jewish people. No, sir, it remains Kishoyim Makam, just like when he was the place. Hamamid Shal Klal Yisrael, he's the one who stands up the Jewish people. Shalom Kulam, and the whole world. No, sir, Kishoyim. It remains the way it was. That's what gives us comfort. That Hashem hasn't changed. He's still giving us place. It isn't any harder for him. He could take care of us. We're still his kids. He loves us. He's going to look out for us. And he'll find other ways that are no more difficult for him to help the Jewish people in what has to happen. Okay, now we can take some questions. Sam.
Yes, Hashem instructed us to choose life.
Yes, sir. Hashem instructed us to choose life.
For a situation that the example you gave where somebody has a great loss, spouse or something. Are we instructed now, at least according to the rabbi, to the tzaddik, to sort of ignore our feelings and to say, well, it's okay, Hashem is still here, therefore don't worry about it, let it go. How can we possibly, I mean, after all, we have to emulate Hashem. The compassion, all the attributes of Hashem we have to emulate as well. And part of them is compassion and sorrow and everything else that we feel for a human being. How can you just ignore that or get over it and say, oh, forget about it. It's okay. You're okay. You're as good as before.
Okay, so the question is, so it seems from what we're saying, it might seem that Hashem is telling us, stop feeling sorry for yourself, don't mourn, don't have compassion, and everything's the same. So where do we balance the mourning and the compassion? I mean, but we see that can't be true, because the halacha insists that we sit shiva and that we mourn. So obviously God wants us to mourn and at the same time to feel comforted. So what you're really asking is, there seems to be a contradiction.
Exactly.
How can we mourn and yet be comforted? So what you've really done, Sam, in this individual situation, is just re-ask the original question that was asked 2 days ago. In other words, 2 days ago we said, when the Beis Hamikdash will come back, we will be comforted with the temple. So what do you mean? So then how? Then what was the mourning for? Right? What if it was a loss? It ain't. So then what's the comfort? If we've lost those years of coming close to Hashem, so now we got the Beis Hamikdash, doesn't make things any better. And yet, the prophet says God will comfort us. So that contradiction was, well, we mourned and he comforted us. So it's really the same contradiction. So hold on. He's going to come at the end of the Shmooze. He's going to answer that question. And if you're not happy with the answer, we'll talk about it more. But that's what you're really asking. There's a contradiction.
Yeah.
On the one hand, we mourn. Mourning means we're never going to see them again. And that's terrible. Because I'm going to miss them. And I won't see them until Mashiach comes. That's a long time. Even if Mashiach comes in a year, I mean, it's a year without them. So it's just like when Mashiach comes. So what about all the loss of spirituality during all those years? And yet, when the Mashiach comes, we will feel comfort. And yet, we're supposed to feel comfort for the person who died. We mourn. And then that mourning is supposed to go away from the comfort that we have. Not like, now, if we're mourning, it must be pretty bad. Pretty bad. How does the comfort make it okay? But that's what we see has to happen. So what's really happening is to recognize there is a loss, to recognize there is a loss, and yet to recognize that life need not be stopped because of that loss.
It won't stop regardless what you feel.
No, but your life shouldn't stop. In other words, you shouldn't. And you miss them and you mourn for them, and because we value life and we value that we're going to miss what that person provided for us. And if we didn't, we would be cruel people. And to just ignore it and say, well, whatever God does for the best, haha, and that's amazing, and I'm so happy my father died.
Well, you know, that's that, but just ignore it. Say, okay, so
let's move on. Let's move on. So the Torah, you know, remember that the halacha is you're supposed to make a blessing when a tragic event happens. You're supposed to make a blessing. Blessed are you, God, King of the universe, who is the true judge. And the Mefarshim explained that you have to make the blessing with simcha, with joy. How can I make a blessing over somebody dying with joy? The answer is joy is not to be understood as fun. The way we determine it in a secular way, joy means knowing that Hashem is doing the best for us at all times. You can't be any happier than knowing that Hashem is doing the best for you all the time. Once you know Hashem is doing the best for you all the time, you have to be happy. How can you not be happy? It's the best thing. You know, if there was a better way, God would have done it differently, but he didn't, so this must be the best way. If this is the best way, you got to be happy.
But when there's a birth of a child, and as happy as it is when somebody dies, that's totally.
But it's the same. But here's the point: it's the same God, the same God who loves you, knows this is best for you. This is best for you. That's the whole thing we're talking about on Tisha B'Av the whole day long, right? So the joy that we're talking about isn't the jumping for joy. That's not a Jewish concept. Jumping for joy. It's this understanding and feeling, a good feeling knowing that you weren't ignored, you weren't forgotten about, and God, you know, gave plenty of forethought to what is the best thing for you at this time in your life, and the best thing for you at this point in your life is to have your life move on without your father. And that's as good as getting an ice cream, if that would be the best thing at that time for you in your life. So that's a difficult concept because we can't see being happy when somebody's dead, right? And the problem only is because we don't understand what death is. We have no idea. We have no idea what suffering really is. We have an infantile understanding of these things, and we don't realize. Just like I gave the analogy on Tisha B'Av about the farmer and all the steps that the farmer did, you know. Destroying the ground and throwing away the seeds and cutting down beautiful plants and crushing grain and burning bread. It all wound up giving you a beautiful challah.
Yeah, okay. But he did probably get to that point and he had
okay, but what, but again,
somebody dies,
but we're still getting somewhere. We're not finished with the planting. Person dies, so we're at the first step. We're at the third step. We chop down the wheat. So be patient. It doesn't go so fast as making bread. This is 6,000 years of history. It's one planting. The challahs haven't come out of the oven yet. That's the problem. We always have to have the challahs right away. That's the problem.
That's what created, I mean, Hashem created the world for that purpose? Or
yes. So here's the problem. Your body reacts faster. Your feelings react faster than your brain, than your intellect. It's been scientifically proven. I forgot the names of the body, the parts of the brain. There's one part of the brain that's in charge of emotion, another part of the brain that's in charge of intellect. The emotion triggers faster than the intellect. So the emotion isn't very smart. Isn't very smart. Now, there's an emotion. I'm sad. My father died. You know, and God says, yeah, well, listen, we can't suppress that feeling. If we suppress that feeling, we're going to be in trouble later. So let's recognize that feeling. You feel bad. You're human. Because you're human, you feel bad. Okay, vent that feeling. Recognize that feeling. Okay? Then let your intellect catch up and realize that this is the best thing that's meant to happen.
prevent that feeling means do whatever.
Just acknowledge what the stupid body is feeling. Acknowledge it. Don't deny. You're a human being, and when if you get smacked in the face, it hurts. So you're hurting. You're hurting. So acknowledge that you're human and that it's hurting. Okay, good. And we don't deny that you're a human being and you're entitled to be a human being. But also then acknowledge that you have a brain and you're a godly person. And after the hurt, you realize that that ultimately it's leading us for a better destination.
So rationalize away your pain.
Not rationalize. Well, not rationalize. Intellectualize.
Right.
Rationalize is different. Rationalize doesn't mean you're using your brain properly. Intellectualize means using it properly. So realize that that this too is part of an incredible growth opportunity for both you and the one that has died. Remember what we were learning in the Bavavi class long ago. A person really, on a certain level, should want to die. Yeah. Remember, if I came to you right now and said, if you want it, you will die, and you will be right next to God in the Garden of Eden. Right
so
now.
Why choose life then? Why?
Because God insists that we continue to live. Because he says, I want you to work more. I want you to work more. But if you were told right now, you leave now, I'm going to give you a spot right next to the Almighty, you're not going to get any closer. So on the one hand, you should say, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for it. Yeah, but God says, okay, I'm glad you're ready for it, but you know, I want you to work a little more here till I bring you up there. But I'm looking, but you say, I'm looking forward to it. It's like you're looking forward to your vacation, right? Looking forward to your vacation. Yeah, vacation, counting down. Another week till my vacation. I'm looking forward to it. But guess what? You still got work to do for another week till you're entitled to that vacation. Hashem saying this. You know, you looking forward to your vacation? Sure. How are you going to pay for it if you don't work? You're going to pay for the vacation. So Hashem saying, you want to be next to me in the Olam Haba? You got to work a little more. Right? So ultimately, death is the greatest thing. Without death, you can never get close to God. As close as possible. You can be close, but not as close as you could be when you die. So that really is a glorious moment in life. If you never die, you can never really get close to God in the deepest sense, can you? You can never go on vacation, can you? So really, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful a tzaddik who did mitzvahs and did everything to come close to Hashem, and now Hashem takes the Chavetz Chaim and says, now I want you to be, he's ready to go. He's thrilled. This is the moment I've been waiting for. All my life, I've been waiting for this moment. Right? So who are you sad for when they die? They're in the place where they're supposed to be, right? We're going to miss them. You don't think God's going to bring another Chafetz Chaim? Somebody's going to make up for it. So God will take care of that too. You know, there's a Gemara that says, whenever the sun set in one place of the world, it rose in another place. Meaning to say, whenever a great tzaddik died, that very day, the next tzaddik for the generation was born. Whenever a great rabbi died, somewhere else, another one is emerging. So Hashem takes care of all this. But we still have to acknowledge, you know, what the person was and what they contributed, and that is a void for us. So let's read on more. He'll explain a little more, because he has yet the hardest part to get to yet. The hardest part is yet to come. In other words, if it was an irrevocable loss of not having the temple, so how we comforted. So here comes the hard part. We've been building up to the hardest part of the class. And hopefully we get through that, Sam, then your question should be answered as well. Your question is not as hard as the question he's dealing with. Nechama ledor achron. So what is the comfort for this last generation? This last generation when the Mashiach is coming, what is our comfort? Lasid lava v'shasa geula, in the future at the time of the redemption, Nargish heitev es achisorin shel shnos agolos. We will feel very well, we will be able to really feel the deficiency during the years of the Golos, of what happened. We'll look back and say, oi, how much time did we waste? How many Harry Potter books did we read? We could have done better things. Now, who's interested in Harry Potter? I don't have any drive for it, because the Mashiach's here, we understand. Oi, but how much we wasted, and we're going to feel bad. Bebechi yavol, we're going to come with tears. But the comfort is, Shagam Lador Acharon, even for the last generation. Yorud Shiva Yerudim, the lowest of the low. Yesh Tafkid Vishayochu Shovel Gula. There is a mission and a connection equal to any other generation as it's bringing us to the redemption. In other words, every generation has its role to play in bringing the Mashiach closer to us. Every generation. V'adai shelo nia ki gedolei hadoros. Certainly we're not going to be as great as the great ones of the past. But, and certainly, im niska lishmo sivri haTorah shel hatanoim v'amorim, if we would be able to be privileged for even a moment to hear the amazing Torah that the rabbis of the Talmud once spoke, if Abaye and Rava, Hillel and Shammai would be here right now and talking, and we would hear what they were saying. Shel Rishonim v'Achronim, or even the later rabbis, the Rambam would be here, Rashi would be here, you know, the Ramah, the Beis Yosef, and they would start teaching us Torah. Tachas asanu bushan erav, we would be so embarrassed. It'd be beyond what we could understand. We'd be totally lost. We'd be so embarrassed. Who am I to even hear what he has to say? Lo navi milach, we wouldn't understand a word of what was really going on. Yiduim divrei Mord Hagon Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer. The great Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, if I'm not mistaken, he was the father-in-law of Rav Aaron Cutler. I think so. Related, whatever. Great rabbi of the previous generation in Europe. Shadir Bain B'nai Yeshivas. He encouraged all the yeshiva bachrim. L'lechas adaber v'limudim amor nachazanish. To go talk and learning in Torah with the Chazon Ish, who passed away in the 50s. So this was going on in the late 40s, early 50s. He told the boys, go to the Chazon Ish and talk some Torah over them. Why? Because he would say, moving on to Tzadi Zayin, Hayom atem yichon l'davrito. Today you have the ability to speak to him. Yavos man shlo tuchlo afilo gospel. There's going to be a time where you can't even reach him. I mean, chaperein. You know, to be able to speak to such a godel, who was everything that Europe had to offer in its greatness in Torah. There's going to be nothing to compare to him once he's gone. So there are differences, clearly. So nifkal chisroneinu, there's what to cry over, what's lost. And abecha yishar li'olam, and those cries will remain forever. There's no more Chazon Ish anymore. We don't have any rabbi who's like the Chazon Ish. It's descended down a level. Okay? But on the other hand, amnam anechomehi, the comfort is, shigam l'tachtonim, even for us lowers peoples, yesh chelech kilyonim, we have a portion like the portion of the higher beings. Hanechama, the comfort is, shiyomer Hashem yisbaruch l'chal Yisrael. What's the comfort Hashem's going to tell the Jewish people when Mashiach comes? He's going to see us the lowest of the lows. He's going to say, v'adei shedoris harishonim hayu gedolim v'atzurim imcha. Certainly earlier generations were greater and stronger than you. And on a certain level, they knew more Torah than you, and they were on a different level. Aval ador ha'achman, but the last generation, Matza Osi, still found me. V'igi alai, and still reached me. Lamroz kol chisron asav, in spite of the deficiencies. The Chazon Ish didn't have to tackle the internet. The Chazon Ish didn't have to, when he walked by the streets of Bnei Brak, he didn't see half-uncovered women at the bus stop. He didn't have to see that. He didn't have to contend with that. He didn't have to contend with all those, the affluence that would take you away from Torah. Right? So that's why he was great. But for us, the world is such at this point where we're bombarded with so much negativity. The fact that we can open up a Gemara, the fact that we even try, the fact that we do something, you know, God's saying, you know, you've done an amazing job. It's not the same job. It's not the same job as the other people did, but it was a different job. It was a different job. And you know what? And I needed your job too. I needed your job. And without your job, Mashiach wouldn't come either. And let's not start, you know, figuring out percentages. Every generation has to do its tafkid. Has to do his job. And the jobs that are given out are different jobs. And your jobs were not to be as great as the Chazon Ish. You had a different job. You had different jobs to do. Hanechama eina hashlomas achaser. Here's the point. The nechama, the comfort, is not making up that which was missing, such as hamenachem lemi she'avad zchum kesef. You want to comfort someone who's lost a lot of money. His business went under overnight. Miyashev alibo as a yecholis kaim mibli hakesef. He has to settle into his heart that, you know what, I can live without the money. That's the real comfort. Not that I'm going to get the money back. You know, when people lose money and we say, oh, don't worry, you know, you'll get it back, that's not necessarily an accurate statement. It's, you know what, you could be happy even without the money. That's the real comfort. The comfort is supposed to get the person to understand that life can be good even without the millions that I once had. What's the comfort of someone who lost a father? Is Hashem Yisbarach Yekayim Oschon Lamros HaChasar HaGadol. Hashem can maintain you in spite of that great deficiency. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avi Yisomim, God is the father of the orphans, Ve'ein HaChasar Dover, and there's nothing missing. Nothing missing. So you're feeling bad? That's okay. So on the one hand, I'm feeling bad because I'm missing this person. And that's true, they're gone and there's something to miss. But part of the bad feeling is, and how can life go on without them? That's that second part. It's like a two-part step process to the pain. Number one, you love that person. And they're not there. That's painful. But therefore, what's life without them? That's like step two. So what Hashem is, what the message is, yes, they're not here, and you will miss them, but you know what? Life can still be very good without them. In spite of them not being here, life can still be a beautiful place. And Hashem can make sure you have a beautiful life, even though they're not there. I know that my father was there to give me advice, and he cared for me, and he loved me, and just being next to him was a beautiful thing, and that gave me a good feeling. And now he's not there to give me that good feeling anymore. But who's to say you still can't have a good feeling? Who's to say you can't have a good feeling? It doesn't have to be the same, but it's still a good feeling that life can go on. You know, it's given an analogy, not even an analogy, you know, and although it might be painful to hear, but it's very true. You know, person has a wife, the wife dies. He lived with the wife many years, he loved her, he cries for everything else. Okay, and then what happened? Hashem sends him another woman, who's also a wonderful woman, and is able to provide him with what he needs. And he now loves this woman. Does it mean to say he stopped loving the other woman, his first wife? You know, he loved it. It doesn't mean he won't miss the first wife. Of course we miss her. Of course she's not here. There's something missing. But I can go on. Life can go on, and I can still be happy. And why? Because Hashem has provided me with another way to be happy. Now, I know, so, you know, women don't like that example, because it's always like, yeah, the woman did all the work and she's in the grave and he's living it up. You know, women often feel that way. It's like, so what does she have at the end? Got to remember, what the first wife, she's sitting in the Gan Eden, don't forget. And she's not jealous. If she was alive, she'd be jealous. She was alive, what are you doing with that woman? But she's in the real world now. The real world isn't jealous of these things. Right? So you're holding two feelings, Sam. And when her yahrzeit comes up, you will have a feeling, you know, we miss her. But the beautiful thing is that God can make sure that life goes on. So that's not a contradiction. Life can go on. You can be happy. And that which that person did to make you happy, she's not going to give you what she gave you. But God can orchestrate others to give it to you, and you don't have to be any less happy. And less fulfilled and less taken care of. Right? And a human being has to be able to hold both feelings together at the same time. They're not contradictory feelings. You can go on in spite of the loss. Why? Because Hashem is the one who can do this for you. That's the point. And even when it's not so simple and straightforward, you know, that, well, wife died, new girlfriend comes. You know, what if the new girlfriend doesn't come? You can still be, you can still not, you can still, life can go on and you can have a meaningful and productive and happy life. From maybe for the first time you're going to look at something you never really looked at properly and realize you had an amazing thing in your life that you totally ignored that was there the whole time. A calling in life. You know, let's say the person loved the wife so much so all day long all they did was watch TV and were happy watching TV all their lives. And he thought that's all life had to offer. And they were happy. They were really happy. You know, they'd go out for coffee, and they would watch TV, and this, and they were happy. So then what happens? He doesn't have the wife anymore. How can life go on? So what happens? So the rabbi comes over, the rabbi consoles him, says, you know, Mr. Schwartz, why don't you join our Talmud class in the morning? Hans, you've got the time. Why don't you join the Talmud class? And the guy comes reluctantly, and then he falls in love with Abai and Rava. He falls in love with the sea of the Talmud. And he gets such wonderful feelings of the intellectual stimulation and the understanding of God and this and that. Something that was always offered, always available. He never took advantage because he was so busy with his wife. He always told the rabbi, well, what do you want? I'm with my wife. So Hashem says, okay, there's a certain amount of time you're meant to be with your wife. But your life can be just as wonderful, but you're going to find a new way to find how wonderful it is. So you're going to tell me the guy doesn't miss, he misses his wife, but he could be, every day he gets up and he's excited to start the next day to learn Torah, and it's a beautiful thing, and he loves it, and he throws himself into it, and he gets such a good feeling whenever he understands the Gemara.
This is good for a wife, Rabbi. When you use a child or a parent,
it's the same thing. It's the same. It's not meant to replace. But here's the point. What did they give you? What did a father give you? You'll say, well, you know, I felt always protected. I mean, why do you love a father? I don't want to get into the micro mechanics of this. Why do you love your father? Why does anyone love their father? It could be a number of reasons. You know, there was always somebody there who I could count on, who loved me without any strings attached. He went out of his way to help me. Nu, felt zechayis to Rabbi Nishloim to do this for you. Hashem can't do that for you. And you know what? Didn't you realize? Shouldn't you have realized it was Hashem doing it for you the whole time?
Hashem gave me a father.
So now, if you're missing that father, Hashem is not going to supply you with some other venue to provide you with all those things that you were missing. Yeah, I never was afraid because my father always beat up the bullies. No, Hashem can't beat up the bullies for you in a different way that you didn't expect to happen. So therefore, they can be replaced insofar that which was lacking doesn't have to be lacking anymore. You will always look fondly upon them. And to the degree that one allows the replacement to happen, to the degree that one can get past the pain. One can get past the pain. But if you are forever locked in and I have to have this, and if I don't have this, I'm not happy. So they have to learn, you know what? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Hashem has been giving you the space the whole time. So he can't give you the space to be happy in another way. And it's right in front of you most of the time. It's not that you have to go to China to get it. It's usually right in front of you. And if it's not right in front of you, you just have to turn the corner to see it. But people are so stuck in the pain and wallowing in their misery, they don't bother to look beyond their nose. And that's the problem. That's the problem. So he's saying, you know, to the past generations, to this last generation, okay, so you didn't have the Chavetz Chaim. Okay, you're not the scholar. But why did you want to be the scholar? Why did you want to know all the Shas? Because that'll bring the Mashiach sooner. It'll bring me closer to Hashem. So does God lack ways to make you closer to Him that has to only come through this? What have you saved a hundred Jews from intermarrying because of your relationships with them? How you impacted on people? Yes, you weren't a scholar in Torah, but you were a friend to them, and you would invite them to your house, and you were a friendly person, and they had a good impression of Yiddishkeit, and you know, you don't realize sometimes the impressions you make on people till years later. Right? So who says you were, so this was what Hashem was wanting too. He was giving you a different scenario. So yes, were you the scholar? No, you weren't. And that's something to feel, you know what, I didn't have that, and to recognize that, and to feel a certain degree of deficiency. I am not the Chafetz Chaim. And you know what, and on a certain level, it would be a wonderful thing to be the Chafetz Chaim. So Hashem says, so you're not the Chafetz Chaim. And ultimately, we should always want to be a Chafetz Chaim. But don't think that what you were doing, or what you could have been doing, wasn't any less important in God's eyes to bring the Mashiach here. Chafetz Chaim did it in his way. And you have people today without half the brains of the Chafetz Chaim that are doing it in a different way. So you have to be able to hold both concepts. Okay, we weren't able to finish it today. Mirtz Hashem on Monday. We've got to finish on Monday. We'll finish this and take any more questions, and maybe we'll try to start a new piece. You have a good Erev Shabbos.